You are listening to an online message from Limbrookwood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrookwood BC. Thank you for tuning in.
Let's have a word of prayer before we look at God's word. Dear Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the day it spoke to us. And we ask now, just this morning, that you'll bless your word to us now as we look into it. In Jesus' name, amen. So from the reading, you see we're in Bethesda, a place where Jesus performed another miracle. The place Bethesda, in Aramaic, it's called the House of Mercy, and you'll see why. Because on occasions, we're told that an angel came down, stirred the waters up, and the first person, only the first person to get down into that water would be healed. Today, if you went to Jerusalem, some friends of mine recently went there, and they said that it's been excavated now, and you can see the pool there, and you can see the colonnades, five of them, or covered porches, actually, there. And it's now called the Pool of St. Anne's. And the people who were there were invalids of all kinds. Some were without friends, some were without help, some were without even any hope. And of course, the lepers would not be allowed to go in there at all. They were excluded. They had to go up the road somewhere out of town and away from everyone else. And it could have been a most miserable place for some people there. The problem was that there's no one to help get the people down. And if they could, there were so many of them, and only one could be healed. What hope had they got of getting down there? Then Jesus came. You know, when I was writing these words, and then I rewrote them, then Jesus came. A lump came into my throat. Do you know that experience? Do you remember when Jesus came into your life? I do. It was way over 60 years ago now. But I remember it still, when Jesus came into my life. And Jesus came into this place, Bethesda. There was a book that a missionary wrote, and the title was, Then God Stepped In. And there were some amazing stories that he told of how things were going so terribly wrong. And you can imagine, one of my friends was in the Congo in 1964, and she still got the scars from when she was there as a missionary. Then God stepped in. Then Jesus came. I was in hospital about 3 years ago. I've been in again since, like some of you members here. Frequent visitor there. And I'd had some major surgery, and I was lying there in bed, and I couldn't move. I couldn't move without someone else's help. And I was just lying there, and after about 3 days, the occupant of the next bed came round, and he said, "Excuse me," he said, "but are you religious?" I said, "Well, I am a Christian." "Oh, I thought you were," he said. "You're so peaceful." I did have an epidural in my back, and yeah, probably still getting over the anaesthetic, but. He said, "You're so peaceful." And I was able to show him that being a Christian was not just a set of rules and regulations, but it was knowing God in a personal way, a relationship with God himself. And in the back of the Gideon Testament, I'd got that by the side of my bed, and I was able to show him, and it tells us of God's love, and we're all sinners, and we need, and God has a remedy for that, and what our response should be, and a short prayer. And I gave him one of these testaments. He said, "Are you sure?" I said, "I'd be very pleased if you would have that." And the last thing I saw of him, he was sitting by his bed reading the New Testament. So what do we know about this person at Bethesda? Well, we know a little about him. Jesus knew everything about him. His past history, even, everything. If we looked in verse 14, Jesus said to him, "Stop sinning, or something worse will happen to you." So obviously, Jesus knew his past and the cause of his problem. What caused his illness? Well, we don't know, do we? We're not told. But today there are many illnesses which are caused by sin. That's not to say that every affliction that comes upon us is because we have sinned. Not at all. But God has a purpose for everything in our lives. Whatever you're going through, God has a purpose. I'm sure God had a purpose for me being in hospital that time to speak to that person. But Jesus knew all about this paralytic man. Jesus knew all about other people. Do you remember when Philip brought Nathanael to Jesus? Jesus told him that he knew he'd been under a fig tree and told him all about him. The woman at the well, Jesus knew all about her. Jesus knew she'd had five husbands. And the one you have now is not your husband, is it? He said to her. See, Jesus saw the person, this one man, just one man, out of all the crowd. And in Luke 19 and verse 10 says this, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." Jesus not only saw the person, but he saw the problem. And he asked him, "Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be healed?" In the original Greek, we're told that he actually said, "Do you have the will? Do you have the will to be healed?" And I guess after being in that state for 38 years, the man had probably lost all hope and even the will to be healed. The purpose Jesus went to this place was to heal this very man. So it was very personal, wasn't it? The healing was not spectacular. We have to say that. There was nothing spectacular about it. Unlike Saul's amazing conversion on the road to Damascus, no thunder, no lightning, simply by his word. Several people came to Jesus for healing for their sons or their family. The centurion came, and Jesus actually said, "I'll come with you." "No, no," he said, "you don't need to come with me. Just say the word. Just say the word." The nobleman came to Jesus, and he wanted Jesus to go and see his son to heal him. And Jesus said, "Unless you people see miraculous signs and wonders, you will never believe. Go home. Your son is healed by his word." The blind man, he said to him, "Go wash." To Lazarus, he said, "Come out." To the man with a withered hand, he said, "Stretch forth your hand." When Jesus performed his first miracle, turning the water into wine, his mother Mary said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." And in each case, we will see there that it was very simple. It was simple, it was direct, it was specific. Do this one thing. Don't have to, you hadn't got a selection of things to do. Just do this one thing. So that there was no doubt when the people saw the miracle, there's no doubt that it was what Jesus had said, his word, that had healed. And as we said before, it's very, very personal. John 3:16 says, for God, I think we all learned this when we were young Christians, didn't we? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And today, someone has said that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is sufficient to cleanse the whole world. Sufficient to cleanse the whole world. Would it be any less? But it's only efficient when it's applied to the individual. When it's applied to the individual, then it's efficient. And we have Christ's word for this. You see, salvation is very personal. Matthew Henry says, there's no power within us without the grace of God. It was by Christ's power that this man was healed, and Christ must have the glory. And the proof of spiritual cure, the proof of our salvation, is our rising, our walking, and our witness in this life. By his word, Jesus healed the paralytic. In the first chapter of the Gospel of John, in the first few verses, it says this: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. In the beginning was the Word. And here the Word was used as a title of Jesus. If we look down and look carefully into those few verses there, we see his distinct personality, his relationship in the Godhead, his deity, his creative power. He created the world and everything within it. His incarnation, he became flesh. His human nature and his glory. The glory he had with the Father way back in the beginning. And so it was with God's word that this man was healed. And that is a reason that Christians and Gideons, we seek to make God's word available to people throughout the world. God's word, the Bible. I don't know how many Bibles you've got at home. This one's a bit battered now, but it's my favourite Bible. It's one that I've got all sorts of notes and colourings and things in. Sometimes I forget why I've done it, but it's good there. It's been good to me, God's word. But you see, the Gideons now are in over 200 countries, and each year, throughout the world, 85 million copies of Scripture, the Bible, are given out. In the Reader's Digest, there was a section in there. I just picked one up in the doctor's surgery, actually. and there's a section there entitled, Books That Changed My Life. Books that changed, of course, you can imagine what I was thinking. Books That Changed My Life. And there's one book that changes lives, and that's God's Word, isn't it? So how does this book God's word changed someone's life completely. In the case of the truck driver, it happened like this. The truck driver had an alcoholic problem. His marriage was breaking down, and he'd gone on a journey, and when he opened his overnight bag, there was a New Testament in it. And there was a note in it from his daughter saying, "Dad, read the back page." And as I mentioned before, it tells you about God's love and what Christ has done for us, his remedy for sin. And you know, that man got down in his room and he accepted Christ as his Saviour there and then. God spoke to him. Now he's a valued member of his local church. He goes along there with his wife and with his daughter. And if you've been praying for somebody for a long time, be encouraged. This man's wife was praying for him for 18 years. And then he came to know the Saviour. There was a Hindu doctor, Dr. Narayan, and he came to the UK to study at Bristol Teaching Hospital there. Do you know, he thought that all people in Britain, all British people, were Christians. Well, what a shock he was in for, wasn't he? At a social event, he got into conversation with a nurse who happened to be a Christian. And they were speaking about their faiths, his Hindu faith and her Christian faith. And she advised him that in his room at the hospital, he would find a Gideon Bible. And he went back there and he started to read the Bible, and he kept coming back to it and coming back to it. And God was speaking to him, and eventually he became a Christian. He went back to India, and he went back as a director of a missionary hospital, would you believe? And then even later on, he became president of Gideon's International in India. That's how God works through his word, isn't it? A year seven pupil, if you probably know that we go to the schools and we present year seven pupils with one of these little red testaments. In fact, in Coventry, it's usually between about 3,500 to 4,000 pupils get one of these little red testaments. But on this occasion, this young lady took it home and left it there somewhere in the house. And you know, like on many other occasions, her mother, or one of their parents, in this case her mother, picked it up and she started reading it. And in the front, where to find help when, and guidance in life, and all sorts of things. The mother was going through some problems at the time, and you know, she couldn't put it down. She kept picking it up and reading it. She started a new job in an office, and she took the testament with her to read in her lunch break. And she didn't know, but one of her colleagues was the wife of a pastor in Coventry. And she said, could she help her? And eventually she became a Christian, and also her husband too. And their supporters, they're in a church in Coventry, and they're supporters of the Gideons too. That's how God can use his word. Another year seven pupil received one of these, and she just put it away. But everywhere she went, if she went on holiday, even when she went to Australia to live and got married, she took the testament with her. Unfortunately, her marriage broke down. She was divorced. She came back to the UK. When she got back to the UK, she was unpacking, and there was the testament. And you know what happened. She read the testament, and God spoke to her, and she became a Christian too. So you see, God's word is powerful, it's mighty, it's active in this day and in this time. There was I just happened to be writing my notes up, and I saw this testimony here. It said, let me share with you the testimony of Zazito, a young Namibian boy who was kidnapped by Angolan rebels when he was only 6 years old and given a gun and taught to kill. He says he became very good at it and killed hundreds. When he was 14 years old, he was rescued by the Red Cross and taken back across the border into Namibia and placed in an orphanage. He could not read, only kill. And yet he found a little red book on a shelf, and it had a fascination for him. He couldn't read, and yet that book spoke to him. He kept asking his teachers what certain sentences meant, and they were amazed at what he was taking in. Not only did Zazito learn to read from the little Gideon New Testament, but met Jesus and came to a saving knowledge of the love of God. Zazito is now a pastor and working in North Namibia. He says that for the first part of his life, he was a killer, killing hundreds. Now he was bringing hundreds to life, eternal life in Jesus Christ. Isn't it a privilege to be part of the ministry where one copy of the Word of God can have such an impact? Of course, as Jesus found in our reading, there's always opposition. The Jewish leaders, the religious leaders, refused to accept Christ as Messiah. They condemned his miracles because they transgressed their laws, not God's laws, their laws. They accused him of blasphemy. Who can forgive sins except God? But Jesus said to them, which is easier? Is it easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or stretch forth your hand? Either was as easy for Jesus, because he was God. And as Gideons, we meet opposition. We meet opposition in schools. It depends, year seven head changes sometimes in schools year to year. And 1 year we might be received well, another year the shutters may go up and say, we don't want you. We have opposition. We had opposition in hospitals, but we've got over that. And in hotels, some hotels change hands, ownership, and they want to get rid of the Bibles. Premier hotels, I'm not advertising for them, but premier hotels don't open a hotel until the Bibles are all in place in each of the rooms, which is good. And largely, we resolve the problems that we meet. As I said, in Coventry schools, up to about 4,000 of these are presented to boys and girls each year. The hospitals are being topped up. Originally, there were 1,250 beds in Walsgrave. These are topped up very faithfully by two people who have health problems themselves, but they still are determined to go and do it. We can't all go and do it because of health issues at the hospital with the superbug and that sort of thing, you know. So we can't all go, but two people continue to. And in the hotels, retirement homes, doctors and dentists' waiting rooms. The other week, in Coventry University, we handed out over 1,000 New Testaments. And a lot of those were to people from overseas. at Warwick University, I think it was 678 we were able to give out in one day. So, as I mentioned, we're in 200 countries, but only 11 of those are self-financing. And so we have to help them to finance and send scriptures over. In Coventry, for the last few years, we've given about 7,000, including the youth testaments, we've given about 7,000 testaments out, but we've been able to provide finances for 14,000 testaments to go overseas. And a lot of that is with the help of churches like yourselves and friends in Coventry. I think we have over 600 friends in Coventry. A lot of letters to keep sending out. But they encourage us, they pray for us and support us. So please support us, won't you, with your prayers. Darren has already quoted this verse, Isaiah 55:11. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. So God's still working. God's still using his word and will do. Jesus came to that situation and he healed that man. Jesus is still healing people of their soul's sickness today. So please speak to me afterwards. There's a table there with lots of free literature. I'll tell you what we're doing. And there's only one thing we sell. That's 60 pence for Bible helps. And that really is just the helps that you find in the front of a Gideon New Testament. So one of those will make your Bible a Gideon New Testament. But we praise and thank God for what he's doing in these days. Thank you. Ah, oh, yes. Well, we've got intercessions now. I nearly missed that. I'm sorry. Is this the book, Darren? I'll sort this out. It's important that we pray for our fellow Christians in a family, and that's what we are, a family. In my own church, we have some problems at the moment. People got health problems. One dear man gave one of his kidneys to help somebody else. And then a few years later, he's found that he's got a tumor on the brain. And we're one of our deacons. We're praying for him. Another one, one of our friends, she hasn't long to live now with cancer. And so we know what it is to pray for others. And it's important that we do. So let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank you for your constant presence and your love for each one of us. And we don't understand entirely why certain things come upon us. But Lord, we thank you that you do. And we pray for our brothers and sisters. We think of Ralph recovering from an operation, Lord, and we pray that healing will continue and that you'll bless him. For Joy, whose back is troubling her again, Lord, we ask that you again put your healing hand upon her. And for Una, recovering from a leg operation, Lord, you know all about her too. And for Martin, having further surgery on his leg this coming week, Lord, we bring all these people to you And we just ask that you'll put your healing hand upon them, restore them to the health that they want, they need. And Lord, pray that in all this they may see that you have been with them to bless them. So Lord, we thank you that you healed that man by the pool of Bethesda. We thank you that today you're still healing. You're still capable of doing that. You still have that power. And we just ask that you'll help these people in Jesus' name. Amen.
You are listening to an online message from Limbrookwood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrookwood BC. Thank you for tuning in.